Well, hello again. Welcome to the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is episode 2, and I am your host, Michael Patrick. We're a little bit late this week. Things happen in life that we don't expect. Family members come and go. We get sick. Things just kind of happen. So this week we're a little bit late. I'm kind of getting over a little bit of a sickness. Barry is on his back. Now, normally when you're sick and you have a really nice, warm, cozy cabin with a fire burning over here and everyone feeling really good, you would take advantage of that, right? Well, not Bartholomew J. Bigfoot. He has decided the best place for him to be is underneath the cabin in the wet leaves, looking around for worms and other things. So I really don't get it, but if you hear any knocking, that's just because he's a Bigfoot, I guess. I don't really know. He doesn't eat chicken soup. He doesn't like tea. He just wants to lay underneath the cabin and drink muddy water. So that isn't going to stop us, though. This week, we are going to go ahead and we're going to move ahead with our tale. We're going to visit a friend of ours in the far, far reaches of the world. It's someone who's very interesting, or something that's very interesting, I should say. And I think we're going to jump into it. So kick back, relax, throw up your feet, grab something warm to drink, and let's jump into it, shall we? So do you remember that time when you were a kid, just after it rained a bunch during the summer? Worms would come out of everywhere and suddenly cover your driveway, or your sidewalk, or your porch. You probably had one of three reactions to that. Number one, you thought it was absolutely amazing. You'd play with them and collect them and become Lord of the Worms. Number two, you screamed your face off because your cousin had convinced you that they'd crawl into your ears and that they would eat your brain. Or number three, you went full on Genghis Khan and destroyed as many generations of worms as you possibly could, laughing your maniacal little head off. Well, apparently the worms have had enough of your crap and they are coming for their revenge. You know, well, I mean kind of, but have no fear. It's only in one part of the world that I don't feel like many of you are gonna visit. And if you do feel the urge to visit, please make sure that you bring an elephant gun with you and be sure to visit the rec room. For argument's sake, let's say that you do decide that you'd like to visit a place that's foreign and magical, filled with a lot of incredibly majestic things. We'll just say maybe the Gobi Desert in Mongolia. Sounds fun, right? Well, let me give you the elevator pitch for this luxurious locale that simply stimulates the imagination. The Gobi Desert is a large desert region located in the northern and northwest part of China, as well as part of southern Mongolia. It covers just a skosh over 500,000 square miles and was home to a large part of the legendary Mongol Empire. It's considered a cold desert, but it's most definitely the land of extremes. In the winter, it can get as cold as 6 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, and in the summer, it can soar up to 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Not only can there be extreme switches in climate, sometimes it can occur within a 24-hour period. There have been documented swings in temperature as high as 63 degrees in a 24-hour span. That's insane. The Gobi Desert is a very remote region, and unlike most deserts, which is a quality the Gobi Desert seems to enjoy, there's a lot of bare, uncovered rock as opposed to just oceans of sand like we're used to. The Gobi isn't a great place to live or, truthfully, to visit at all, but there is something there that the locals believe calls the region home, and it's not pretty. Like, literally not pretty. There are a lot of weird things out there that people claim to have seen or have encountered, but this one is all by itself on a few different levels. For starters, no one has ever captured any actual evidence of this guy. Like, no photos, no recordings, nothing. But this fella has lived for quite a long time and has shown up in local lore and legend for generations. There is rock drawings depicting the creature, but no one other than locals have actually seen one. If you YouTube it, you'll find some videos depicting this creature, but most are pretty great fakes. There's some where it may be another creature, or people have just kind of superimposed other things out there, and it doesn't look very good. You know, where are my manners even, though? I haven't even told you what we're looking at yet. Today, we're going to be talking about the Ulgoy Korkai, known to the Western world as the Mongolian Death Worm. Yep, that sounds great. The Ulgoy Korkai translate to intestine worm because, well, it's said to look like a cow's intestine. Isn't that delightful? So this little fella here, he's quite the mystery to the world. There is not a whole lot of information out there in the universe about the Mongolian Death Worm. Most accounts of the Mongolian Death Worm come from where I mentioned previously. Local tribes that have inhabited the Gobi Desert region have passed on legend and lore about the worm and his activities within the region. That being said, let's explore this little fella's background a bit, shall we? The first time the Mongolian Death Worm was exposed to the Western world was in 1926. Famed explorer and real-life Indiana Jones, Roy Chapman Andrews, was asked by the Mongolian government to help them out with an issue. He was a paleontologist that wanted to collect fossils and find out a little bit more about the region. Instead, they had a creature that no one could catch or document, and they wanted old Roy to find it for them. After his search for the famed worm, he published a book called On the Trail of Ancient Man in 1926. In the book, he recollects a conversation he had with a Mongolian prime minister. The prime minister of Mongolia, mind you. The prime minister told Andrews of the creature and described it, saying, and I quote, "It is shaped like a sausage about 2 feet long, has no head nor legs, and it is so poisonous that merely to touch it means instant death." So, let's summarize here. Based on accounts, including the prime minister of Mongolia, I can't stress that enough, the death worm is between 2 and 5 feet long. It has sharp teeth protruding from both ends. Yikes. That makes Taco Tuesday an especially fun adventure. It also reportedly can shoot electricity from its body. Not only that, it also turns into a balloon and can shoot venom from a pretty good distance. And heavens help that venom hits you. It will kill you instantly, and your rotting, gross body will melt and turn yellow. Sounds pretty good, right? I know this sounds like something out of a science fiction movie, and later on, maybe we'll find out it is, but it's something that absolutely terrifies the Mongolian locals and makes them really pay attention to where they go and when they go there. I've talked about how extreme the weather is in the Gobi Desert, and much like Champ, the Mongolian Death Worm is kind of a snowbird, or a snow death worm. It spends most of its year snoozing below the sands of the Gobi Desert, and when the sun comes out in June and July, this fella packs up the RV, waits for a good rain, and pops out of the surface of the sand. I mean, who can really blame it for only wanting to spend the warm months up north and the rest of the year down south? The Mongolian Death Worm is also a big fan of camels. It's said that camels are really a vacation destination and that it's their preferred place to snuggle up and lay their eggs. Well, namely inside the intestines of said camels. This is how many locals believe that the Mongolian Death Worm ended up being the nice hue of red that it is, because it casually snacks on the intestines of its host. The locals claim that it can also be found hanging out around the black saxel Haloxylon amodendron. Say that 10 times fast. It's a yellow-flowered desert shrub whose roots are parasitized by the Goyo Cinerarium songaricum, which is a strange cigar-shaped plant. It's incredibly difficult to say. Believe me, it's just as gross-looking as it is hard to pronounce. Many believe that this parasitic plant is what gives the Mongolian Death Worm its magical powers, or at least its instantly killing super venomous venom. Did I mention that it can kill you instantly? Well, let's add another fun twist to this slimy guy's resume. not only can he kill you instantly with his long-range venom cannon or shock you to death, resulting in your, well, death, the Mongolian deathworm is also said to have supernatural powers. Locals believe that the worm's spirit is evil in nature, and if you as much as think about it, it will visit you and kill you instantly. Well, not really, but that'd be neat. However, they do believe that if you get too close to one, even accidentally, its spirit can haunt you and even visit you in your dreams. A Czech explorer experienced this firsthand, but we'll get into him in just a second. Over the years, there have been many sightings of this creature in the Gobi Desert, but as we've established before, there's not one that's truly documented by anything of real substance. It's not really that hard to imagine why this region would be one that's ripe for a mysterious creature that's never been captured or had a photo taken. The region is so incredibly remote and hostile to those that aren't intimately familiar with it, it'd be a great place for something to call home. Also, you might not remember, but from 1945 until 1990, Mongolia was a country under communist rule. During that time, it was actually illegal for anyone to come into the region and try to hunt for the terrifying subterranean creature. That's a pretty large chunk of time also for an area to be off limits to a cryptozoological boom and a time when people may have wanted to start poking around for the deathworm. During this time, however, groups of geologists were permitted to come into the area and take geological surveys of that area. Much like they may have experienced in high school, the bullies, better known as the Mongolian deathworms, terrorized the geologists while on their trek. One geologist was even reportedly killed instantly when he pushed a metal rod through the sand and was electrocuted to death. Once the communist rule fell in the 90s, however, Czech explorer Ivan Makarli took advantage of the newly opened region and went on a hunt for the death worm. He went into the region and interviewed local nomads to try and pinpoint a region where he may have been able to find a specimen of the elusive worm. He was regaled with tales of locals that have claimed to see the worm instantly killed people, including a young boy and his family. During this time in Mongolia, he was able to use a lot of these descriptions to gather an idea of what the Mongolian death worm might look like. He wrote, "Sausage-like worm that's over half a meter long and thick as a man's arm, resembling the intestines of cattle. Its tail is short as if it were cut off, but not tapered. It is difficult to tell its head from its tail because it has no visible eyes, nostrils, or mouth. Its color is dark red, like blood or salami. It moves in odd ways. Either it rolls around or it squirms sideways, sweeping its way about. It lives in desolate sand dunes and the hot valleys of the Gobi Desert with saxaul plants underground. It is possible to see it only during the hottest months of the year, June and July. Later, it burrows into the sand and sleeps. It gets out on the ground mainly after the rain when the ground is wet. It is dangerous because it can kill people and animals instantly at a rate of several meters. None of that is anything that we hadn't already established, but that still does paint a pretty terrible picture of the creature. He tried a lot of things in order to find the worm. He created a machine that thumped on the ground and made sort of a rhythmic noise that may have attracted it. Funny enough, this was inspired by the movie Tremors, and that's kind of where he got the idea for thumping. I guess he thought maybe the worm was a fan of Mega Bass and that he could tempt it up to his desert rave. He also used a method that many would probably not suggest. Explosives. That's right. He'd blow large craters in the ground in hopes of getting the sand surfer to mosey on over and see what the ruckus was all about. Unfortunately, Ivan was never able to lay eyes on one of these creatures, but he was able to experience its supernatural oogie boogie. While taking a nap one afternoon, he had a terrible nightmare. He was walking through the desert when he felt something behind him. A Mongolian deathworm had followed him and pounced on the explorer. Ivan then proceeded to give the worst piggyback ride of all time, and the monster bit and ripped into his back. When he woke up, they discovered a large bruise on his side, and over the next few days, Ivan experienced incredible pain and believed that he was suffering from heart failure. He decided to hightail it out of there and get away from the Gobi Desert to recuperate. Bit of advice for you would-be worm hunters out there. If you're going to hunt for something that lives below the sand and can kill you instantly in many different ways, invest in a cot. Also, just don't hunt a worm with supernatural powers. This is something that's probably been in this region for hundreds of years. But let's think about this for a second. Worms generally need moist ground to survive, and while the theory that this guy only really likes coming out after it rains might help explain that, it's suspect at best. Also, what is he going to eat? I mean, sure, there's some camels and plants and of course people, but that's not nearly enough food to sustain a worm. Worms generally eat fungus and bacteria that grow on leaves, plants, and grass. And while all of those things exist in the Gobi, you'd be hard-pressed to find enough to sustain these giant buggers all year round. Not to mention the fact that they'd be a wormsicle for a good part of the year, even if they burrowed down beneath the sand. So, when boiling down all the facts, it's not looking good for our friend the Mongolian death worm. Of course, there are a lot of opinions on what this dangerous creature might actually be. And truth be told, some of the explanations as to what it might be aren't that insane. For example, the Caecilian, that's Caecilian. I'm not talking about someone that has an overly expressive grandmother that makes a mean pasta. I'm talking about the worm-looking amphibian that generally makes its home in a warm, tropical climate. Now, I want you to Google Eryx sand boa. Go ahead, I'll wait. Okay, that was long enough. But when you Google that, tell me that doesn't look like a worm. It's not generally found in that area, but it's pretty close, and if I had to venture a guess, I'd say it's possibly a relative of this guy. Or at least the Mongolian death worm is some sort of snake. I get it. It can instantly kill people and animals with poison and electricity. Honestly, I feel like that's more the thing of myth than a blood-red creature that moves like a snake. And if a snake were to slide along the sand at a high rate, I don't see why it couldn't gather up some sort of static charge. If someone were to touch it, maybe it would get a jolt. Enough to kill an innocent geologist, though? Probably not. Most creatures that can use electricity to inflict harm generally live in the water, too. The crazy thing about a desert is that there's not usually a lot of water there. Honestly, though, who knows? Maybe a giant Mongolian death worm is cruising through the Gobi Desert. The desert is over 500,000 square miles, and while we can use Google Earth to find a random person flipping the bird to a passing Google car, I very much doubt we could use it to find our friend death worm. We find new species on the daily, and this is including large creatures as well. Is it possible that it exists? Sure. Will we find one someday? Maybe. I do know that, though, this has captured the minds and imaginations of lots of people, including being the inspiration for the physical manifestation of Frank Herbert's sandworm in the novel and the movie Dune. Many believe that the graboids in the movie series Tremors were also inspired by the Mongolian death worm. And let's not forget to mention that they got their own movie on the Sci-Fi Network. I mean, that's really making it big time. Will we ever know if the Mongolian death worm really exists? Only time will tell. What do you think? Is this just a figment of our imaginations? Creatures of lore created to keep people out of a desolate area that nomads want to keep for themselves? Or is it a mixture of lore and a creature that does in fact exist, like lots of these legends really are? Maybe someday we'll know, and maybe it will remain a mystery forever. But again, it's fun to imagine this creature cruising through the Gobi Desert, instantly killing everything it sees. Oh, actually, that's not fun at all. What do you think the Mongolian death worm really is, though? Is it a worm, or is it just a legend? I'd love for you to share your thoughts with us on what you believe the Mongolian death worm actually is, and maybe give us a little bit of feedback, too. You can always find us on Twitter, @MNFPod. Instagram @MonstersAndFriends, or feel free to look us up on Facebook and give us a like. Also, make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for visiting us again this week, and we'll see you next time.